Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we journey to Uvita, Costa Rica, with our guests, Joe Studer and Keith Foley. I'll tell you a little bit about both gentlemen. Keith and Joe moved to Costa Rica after many years living in Arizona. They have been together for 16 years. Congratulations. They both had a dream of living in Costa Rica and running a small hotel. 3 years ago, they finally made it come true, finding the perfect hotel in Uvita, Costa Rica. They sold their home in Arizona and bought Nature's Edge Hotel in March of 2020. The U.S. borders shut down the exact week that they planned to move due to COVID, and they had to manage a major hotel renovation project remotely from the States. I'll give you guys credit. The borders finally opened in September 2020, allowing them to arrive in Costa Rica. Their first hotel guests arrived in December of 2020. Keith was born in New Jersey, but spent most of his younger life in Atlanta. Joe was born and raised in Chicago. After meeting 16 years ago, they moved to Arizona. Keith has a degree in psychology from Georgia State. Joe started his career as a registered nurse, but worked most of his professional career in the IT and operations side of healthcare. Joe has a BSN from Northern Illinois, MBA from Loyola University, Chicago, and a master's in healthcare administration from Georgia State University. A lot of credentials there. Joe worked remotely for the first 3 years after moving to Costa Rica, but just retired June 30th, 2023, and now works solely helping to run the hotel. Congratulations on your retirement. That's a big thing. Keith has a variety of jobs throughout his career, first working as the corporate travel agent and then moving on to various project management roles with tech and travel industries. Keith quit working after purchasing the hotel and is the primary operator of the hotel. Joe cooks breakfasts, set up rooms, and does the laundry and checks in guests. It's a big job too. Mm-hmm. Breakfast. I want to know about breakfast. Joe plays tennis, works out at the gym, hikes, reads, cooks, and bakes. He also watches a lot of tennis on TV. Keith discovered a love for gardening and bird watching since moving to Costa Rica. They both are actively engaged in the Costa Rican community that they live in. Both Keith and Joe enjoy traveling. They're going on an extended trip to Spain, followed by a transatlantic cruise. I want to know more about that when you go as well. So welcome, guys, Keith and Joe. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming. And tell our audience, what motivated you to move to Costa Rica in the first place, and why did you pick Uvita?
So we both had a dream, even before we met each other, of relocating, retiring in Costa Rica and owning a small hotel or B&B. So before we even knew each other, and actually the first time when we first started dating, Keith came over to my place and on my shelf had a book, Retiring in Costa Rica and Owning a B&B in Costa Rica. And he said, oh my God, I have those exact two books. How crazy is that? So I guess it was fate. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
But you know, we had careers and life and family and friends in the States, and life kind of moves on. And it just happens to be about 3.5 years ago, we had been traveling to Costa Rica from time to time, even before we had met, and had already completely fallen in love with the tranquility, the beauty, the people. So we, in January of 2020, just before COVID just turned completely crazy, we came down here for a brief vacation for a week just to relax because our jobs were very stressful, especially Keith's was really stressful. So we said, let's just go down to Costa Rica for a week just to relax. And while we were here, long story short, someone said, hey, you guys want to buy a hotel? There's a hotel for sale. We said, no. Maybe down the road. And they said, well, just take a look at it. And we took a look at it. And there we go. We
bought it. You bought the hotel.
Yeah. So it was sometimes life puts things in your path. And it was so easy. Things just fell right into place. We put our house on the market in Arizona. It sold in 5 days above asking price. And sometimes when things start going so easily, it feels like it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Of course, then COVID came along and added quite a few challenges. But here we are. And it was one of the best decisions we ever made. And no regrets. And to a large degree, I think it has exceeded our expectations and our hopes and dreams in terms of the success of the hotel, the community we have here with the most amazing people, and just living more simple within the jungle, within the mountains. And we were just out on a boat ride all day yesterday, watching whales, and just beautiful. So it's just such a different life than we've ever had.
It sounds like fate. I mean, it's meant to be. So you guys meet each other. You both have the same books. You both have the same desires. You didn't know that. And that happened. And then years later, you go to Costa Rica, your favorite place, and you wanted to open up a B&B. And there it is. A hotel is there. And you just like, okay, let's do it. So it is, to me, it is meant to be. It's something, yeah. it's you have a good juju.
Right.
Yeah. The funny thing about it was, is I'm always the do it person. Like, I'll just be like, okay, let's just do it. Let's go.
Impulsive.
And Joe is always the, let's think about it. And we saw this property basically twice. The first time we drove up here, they were sold out and we couldn't see any of the rooms. And it was funny. It's a funny joke, but two lesbians owned it before us. Mm-hmm. And so it structurally was built very solid, but they did not know how to decorate. And we laughed about that. And so we're looking at the place and I'm like immediately putting in my ideas of what we're going to do to decorate it. And, but then I'm just like, Joe, no, we have to think about this. We can't do this right now. I know we want to, but we just can't do this. And he's ready to buy it. Like he was, and he's never like that. Like,
and you're the impulsive one, Keith. And you were
totally
like,
impulsive. Like I would have put the money down. And I was like, no, we can't do this. So we go back and we both could not sleep that night at all. And we both were awake. You know, after you've been together 16 years, you kind of like when you fall asleep, you turn your backs to each other and you're reading your phones. And that's what we were doing. And but we didn't know we were both reading about the hotel. And we wake up the next morning and he goes, did you see the reviews by any chance? I was like, yeah, I was looking at them all last night. He was like, oh, my God. I mean, it was top notch. The girls did a great job running the hotel. And the only thing was, like I said, is I really wanted to upgrade it to a they were more of a cabina style hotel and we've become a boutique hotel. So we just upgraded it. But I'm just like, yeah, but Joe, we have to think about this. We really, really can't do this. And so he goes, well, let's go back and look at it when we can see a room. And we came back the next day and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to make them an offer that they're going to reject because that way then, you know, and I'm like, we have to sell the house in so many days in Arizona. It has to be for the same price as the hotel. Blah, 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 blah. And she just turns around and says, yep, that's fine. I was like, okay.
It was meant to be.
And it all, even
and
though
got
COVID
got price.
Away a little bit, it was good. And I think COVID helped us because neither of us know how to run a hotel or knew how to run a hotel. We do now. And so COVID kind of helped us. We got the renovations done while we were in the U.S., which was fun. We did it all by WhatsApp. And as long as you can find a dependable person to help you, that's what makes moving to a foreign country a success. And we've told many people that you've got to find good people and you've got to find people you can trust and you've got to be able to work with them and then things fall in place. And that's what happened with us. And so we got that all done. We get down here and COVID didn't allow us to be full, which is good. So we were only running at about 50% full. And that was good for us because we were learning how to run a hotel. So it helped us a lot. It gave us a lot of time to click with the community, click with finding the exact people we needed to help us. And again, that's all I can always say is find the right people that help you when you move to a foreign country.
Yeah, that's very important. A couple of questions. Where in Arizona did you live again?
Fountain Hills. Oh, yes. In the Phoenix area. It was kind of the last town east of the Phoenix area. Scottsdale and then Fountain Hills.
Yep. So, yep, I know it. I have friends that live there. So, unfortunately, we never got to meet while you were in Phoenix.
I know, that's weird. Like, it's a small world. The universe is amazing how it connects people, but sometimes you just never know there's someone right around the corner.
Exactly, exactly. And another question I have, what's a cabina type hotel?
So in Costa Rica, they don't really have, we consider ourselves a bed and breakfast and inn. A cabina is just really a casita or a room that's just off by itself.
Freestanding.
Freestanding. Mm-hmm. And cabina, when you refer to it as a cabina, it's a little less luxurious. It's just usually just a basic room that you would spend in. And so when you go and look, if you start shopping around for a hotel just to stay in, you'll see a lot of cabinas, and those are going to be just a basic room, not upgraded, no upgraded, like
basic amenities,
At the hotel. So it's just like, we have upgraded linens. We have upgraded sheets, mattress. If you stay in a cabina, it's going to be like one level down. It's still going to be very nice. I mean, the hotel was still an amazing hotel, but to give you an example, they were charging like $109 and $129 a night. And now we're up to like $159 to $189 a night. So we've raised our rates about $50 to $80, and we're still getting guests.
Well,
and
sounds like
a
bargain.
We upgraded the way the hotel is.
So yeah, boutique, you gentrified it like the gays normally do.
Exactly. The gays came in and made it totally different.
And you knew it.
Yep. Yep, and made it a boutique hotel. That's great. And tell us where Uvita is located geographically within Costa Rica. And
so a lot of people may be familiar with Manuel Antonio or Capos.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It is about 45 minutes south of Manuel Antonio.
Well, okay. Capos.
Capos area. Yeah. And the reason why we chose this area is, first of all, it's just stunningly beautiful. It has this massive national park called Marina Bayena National Park, which is Whale's Tail National Park, and just beautiful beaches and mountains and scenery. But this area was unavailable to people because the road was just a dirt road. So the main highway pretty much ended at Manuel Antonio. And it was only about 10 years ago that they extended the highway all the way to Panama. So Uvita is about, I don't know what, an hour and a half, 2 hours from Panama. So it's the Southern Pacific.
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours from Panama. So it's a Southern Pacific zone. And so we are 3.5 hours from San Jose. We are about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour from the Capos, Manuel Antonio area, and 2 hours from Panama. So we're on the South Pacific border.
So what I have to say, okay, because there's a Caribbean side and then
it's the Pacific side. Yeah.
So it's Costa Rica has two sides.
Right. So we could talk about the beauty and the location and all that and the beautiful national park, but really it comes down to community. If you're looking for a place, everyone's like, oh, what's the weather? What's the temperature? What are the views? What do you have access to? But really, if you're planning to retire and relocate abroad, it's about community. Mm-hmm. And this community in Uvita, which is actually called the Costa Ballena Zone. So there's three towns. It's Dominical, Uvita, and Ojochal. So they're all like three sister towns. Uvita is the biggest one, which is nice because it has the grocery stores, the banks, the pharmacies, the clinics, everything, all the things you need. And the community here is just amazing. Very involved, very active, fundraising, dog rescues, community theater. Everyone helps each other out. We could not have been as successful with our hotel and our lives here if it hadn't been the support of the community.
I'm all about community.
It's all about community. You can go to the most beautiful place, beautiful beach, beautiful everything, but if there's not a sense of community, then what's the sense of living there? We had a big flood south of here where all these people lost their homes. The whole community got together and helped all these people rebuild their homes, you know, provide supplies and things like that. The community theater is very active, put on 4 shows a day. For the local people, they never really had a sense of Christmas here. So all the community, the retirees, the expats, came together and raised all this money and had this big celebration of Christmas for the kids, the kids that lived here. And the first time they have schools and there's all these kids, they had a big party. Well, we didn't organize it. Actually, the locals organized it, but they reached out to the expats to help finance it a little bit. So it was a joint effort. So that's what community is about. And that's what we love about UVITA.
So when you talk about community, you talk about the expat community and the local community both? And they both talk to one another?
They do. Knowing Spanish helps for that, obviously. I know Joe knows more Spanish than me. They do talk. It is a total difference obviously the expats coming in have a lot more money than the locals.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can get immersed in with the local community. One thing that's funny is we've talked as expats before other people, and they're just the Costa Ricans are so loving and so caring, most of them, that they don't see us as having a lot of money or as being rich and being, they don't care for all that stuff. They live very, very, very modest lives. And yes, we can be part of that community, but we kind of do keep it, a lot of people do keep just within the community of the expats. I mean, we help each other as the expats, and then we help the community because they have less than we do, some of them. So we help them, but it's not intermingled like totally. I mean, you can make yourself intermingled, but it is a total class difference. I mean, because they do live very modestly compared to how some of the expats come and live here.
They call the locals ticas?
Tica for a girl and ticos for the boys.
Okay, so, gotcha.
But they're loving, caring people. I mean, they will help you. They'll do anything. It's just a difference of class. I mean, they live in a house that, some of them live in a house that is dirt floors. And that's very nice for them. Now, there's the upper class ticos as well that have very beautiful homes and businesses and stuff like that. But it's a definitely a class difference, but it's easy to get together with the other expats and then also some of the ticos helping them when they have less than we do. So it's a very, I would say, a peaceful environment to live. And I guess one of the things that some of your listeners would like to know is how is it being gay down here? And it's very easy. I mean, it's almost like it's a live, let live country. I don't ever feel, I mean, Joe and I didn't come down here to find gay. That wasn't our thing. But we found a community that could care less that we're gay. So we feel great where we are. There's a good, in where we are here in UVITA, there's a good mix of gay and straight. Most of the gays are married or together. I wouldn't come down here single. Mm-hmm. You could come down here single, but if you're looking to meet someone, it's going to be difficult. I mean, I wouldn't come down here as a single person saying, oh, I want to meet someone.
Right.
So, but it feels comfortable and it doesn't feel like it's an issue.
There is also a very active gay and lesbian Facebook site, and we get together on a regular basis.
Well, we don't always go, not as much.
Always go to the events because we're running a hotel and we're busy, but it is very active and such.
It was more active. He's talking about it before. It was more active when the person who was running it wasn't so busy with his business, but it is active still, but it's not as active as it used to be. So.
And I'm just trying to picture what it's like. And I took a look at your website and it's just beautiful. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, everything looks just beautiful.
Website, so I have no credit. I can take no credit.
Excellent job, Keith.
Yeah.
And it's just different. It's totally different coming from Arizona. You're coming from a city and you're going into, basically it's like jungle-like. Correct?
Right. Exactly. Mountain living in the jungle.
You have monkeys on trees.
Monkeys, yeah. Animals, all sorts of coati, and anteaters, birds, all sorts of things.
It is definitely living in the jungle, and you have more animals than you do people where we are. So
yeah,
it's and funny because
do you get along? Do you get along?
Get along with the animals?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few that we would rather not get along with. The raccoons and the pizotes or coates, they love to eat the trash and rip apart bags. And we go up to the, no matter how many times we tell guests, do not leave food in the kitchen, they leave food in the kitchen. And so overnight, the raccoons and the coates decide to have a party and we get up there and it's a mess. But everybody else we can live with. Nothing different than Arizona, because like people will say, oh my God, you have scorpions down there, or oh my God, you have snakes down there. I mean, our dog that lived in Fountain Hills got bit by a rattlesnake. I mean, there was rattlesnakes in our backyard. We have...
In Arizona.
I mean, we have the Terciopelo here. It's a little bit...
They don't come into Phoenix, by the way.
Oh, they don't come... The rattlesnakes don't?
No.
Okay. But they did in Fountain Hills. We had several rattlesnakes. But here you have the Terciopelo, which is a very dangerous snake. I mean, if you get bit, you have to go to the hospital. But it's no different than what we had in Fountain Hills. I mean, we had the scorpions, we had the snakes, and they don't want to attack you. They want to be left alone as well. So right. As long as you live,
we're invading their space, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so they pretty much will let live. So most of the animals, most of everything. I mean, we do have cats. We have like the ocelot and the puma and things like that. But never once have we seen one do anything. We've caught them on, like, friends have jungle cameras that they catch them on in the middle of the night. But they don't want to come. Like, our guests will be like, oh, my God, are they going to come after us? They don't care to come near the humans. So,
right. Yeah,
it's very, I feel like it's safe. It's funny, one of the hotels advertises on their website, and I may have put it on mine. I can't remember. But, like, if someone says, is it safe there? What is security like? Our mountain road is a one-way road. And there's more animals and wildlife than there are people on it. And that's exactly what they quote on there. So it's definitely different. If you're a city person, which I'm not, you definitely can feel isolated at times. You don't have a Starbucks to go right down to at the corner of the house. And you can kind of feel very frustrated if you need something. There's no Home Depot right around the corner. So that can get stressful if you let it. We've kind of learned to improvise and understand living in the jungle. It's funny, when we first moved here, you do what everybody calls muling. So, and when you go back to the U.S., you will come back with your suitcases full of stuff. And usually people will ask you to bring stuff, which we try not to ask people so that we don't get asked ourselves. But we were going back and forth between the U.S. in the beginning, and we were coming back with two or three suitcases. Now it's down to one. So we need less. So you learn to need less, and you realize that you don't really have to have some of the things that, because the store is right around the corner.
Right.
You know? But if that's not for you, then this may not be the place for you. You have to really realize that you are living in the jungle, and we have great restaurants. We have a great grocery store. We have hardware stores. But if you want, and I'm just going to make this up, you want a light fixture that looks exactly like this and it fits on the wall exactly like this, well, you might have to change your ideas because you're not going to find it.
And there's no Amazon.
Amazon, yes, but they add on a lot of duties and taxes. And so by the time it gets down here, sometimes it can be double the price.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll come, but it will cost you more.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that if somebody is moving to another country, they have to go in with the attitude of, I'm moving to someone else's country. I am a foreigner. You can't expect to have the same things that you have in the States that you have there. Customs are different. Geography is different. Everything is different. You can't, it's not going to happen. So don't bother moving. So
correct.
People should 100%. Just.
Well, those are the ones that usually fail. If they come down here wanting it to be like it was where they came from,
right,
then they're not going to make it. And
right,
there is a thing between the expat community that if you make it here 2 years, then you're going to probably make it here longer. Right. But if you don't make it past the first 2 years, you're not going to make it. And a lot of what you just said, it was funny you said, I can't get a bagel. Well, you can't get a good bagel down here. So if you come down here wanting a good bagel, you aren't going to find one. So it's funny, if you come down here with that attitude, like we love cheese, and cheese is just really bad down here. Like we love to have cheese and a glass of wine at night, and wine is expensive. But we've improvised. We now drink Chilean wines. We used to drink Australian and New Zealand. Well, we can't afford those anymore. So we buy the Chilean and the Argentinian wines. And then we've kind of said, well, we're not going to have cheese at night anymore because the cheese tastes terrible. So you just have to be able to say, okay, I'm fine with that. If you want to spend $30 on a bottle of wine, you can get an Australian wine. And if you want to spend about $25 on a block of cheese, you can get a good thing of cheese. But so it depends. What do you want?
Yeah, I'm all for like the cheap bottle of wine.
Yeah, we are too.
So $10 or less. And if I'm in a different country like Spain, and it's like, oh my God, a glass is like a dollar. It's like cheaper than water.
So we love Spain for that reason. We're like, we went to Spain last year and we're going again soon. So we're like, it's just amazing. Like the cheese and the meats and the wines and how cheap it is. And we're like, oh my God, it's so amazing. So we go through that little of, oh my God, I miss that. And then we come back home to it's peacefulness is what I would say makes this the great place to live. You're not here for the discos. You're not here for the gay nightclub. You're not here for having everything available to you.
You're here for
the fact that you're living within nature. And it's just the most beautiful, relaxing experience. And that's what you came for. Now, if that's not for you, then maybe moving to Spain is a better idea or moving somewhere else. And it's probably not going to be for us forever. I mean, we'll eventually probably want to either go back to the US or go somewhere in Europe. But it is for now what we want. And we absolutely love it. It's just so, I've never been so relaxed, and even most of my friends and my mom and everybody's like, and they can just hear it in my voice. And when they see me, when I come to visit, they're just like, you're so relaxed.
It's a great experience too.
It is. Like I go to a restaurant in the US and my friends are all, because they still have a work life and they still have,
they're all stressed.
Like, everything is, where's that waiter? Why is that waiter not serving us? And I'm just sitting there like, I've got my glass of wine and I'm sipping my wine and I could care less. Just like, and that's how it is in Costa Rica. It's very laid back. It's very relaxing, and that's what you have to be ready for. And you also have to be ready for the fact that it is that. I mean, I spent three hours in the bank trying to get something done, and that was normal.
Yeah.
So in the US, if you go into the bank, you expect to be in and out in 15 minutes, and if you're not, you're all stressed out.
Yeah.
Well, here, no. You sit in the bank, and you can be there for 3 hours.
I believe it. And it's the same thing in the States. You go to a restaurant and once you're eating and you're at a table, the waiter is trying to get you out, you know, from the next table, pushing the next table. And most countries, it's just the opposite. They couldn't care less when you left.
'Cause then 100%. When I first got here, Joe was still working remotely and I was running the hotel. And when I did get some time to get a break, I met some really great people. We'd go out to lunch. But one time I went out by myself and I didn't know this. So I sat down at a table and I'm eating and I was done and I was still sipping on my drink and waiting for a check and waiting for them to, you know, push me along. I'm there for almost an hour still waiting. And then the next time I went out with some friends that I'd met here and I said, hey, what is up with this? And they said, no, you have to ask them for a check. You have to ask them that you want to leave.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's why I was there for an hour the last time. Because finally I just said, I asked them for my check, but it was just like, they don't care. And you can just be sitting and drinking water. Like you don't have to be buying anything more. And they just don't care if you're sitting there. And we can sit there for 2 hours and it's just relaxing. They're not in a hurry to push you out unless they're closing. If they're closing, they will try to push you out. But if they're not, they could care less that you take their table for half a day.
The U.S. is too stressed. Everything is based on work, work, work.
And have
money,
half,
money,
half.
Money. 100%. Everything revolves around the dollar.
Right.
And who has more? Can I build a bigger house? Can I have a better car? Can I have better clothes?
Yeah. Who needs a McMansion? Everybody was buying these huge, huge houses back in the day because it was big.
Just ridiculous. There's something so beautiful about simplicity. That doesn't mean you have to have a rundown little tiny little house, but having a modest house with basic amenities and beautiful view, that's what it's all about. And there are quite a few people who come to Costa Rica and build these big mansions. So that's for them and cool. Do what you want. But that's not our thing. Ours is more living in harmony with the with the modesty of this country.
I mean, you can do it. You can come down and build your McMansion. But yeah. I feel like if you're coming down and doing that, why aren't you just staying in the U.S.?
Exactly. Know? What's the difference? I mean, to me, I want to get rid of stuff.
Right.
I don't need stuff.
We're the same way. We're such minimalists. It's funny. I had to get my passport retaken a few years ago. And the guy said, I think you're wearing the same shirt from when you took your passport photo 6 years earlier. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this has got another six more years left.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I'm trying to get him to get rid of a shirt that has a big rip in it. I'm like, come on, you
can get rid of that. It's got another 10 years left on it.
That's one thing talking about clothing is like I'm constantly just wearing a T-shirt and it's in between workout shorts and kind of not workout shorts, but I'm constantly, that's all I'm ever wearing.
Yeah,
it's just a
because you're so comfortable.
And flip-flops, tank top, flip-flops. And that's the other reason. If you want excellent weather, except for when it's rainy season, although we've had a very dry rainy season, but if you want excellent weather, this part of Costa Rica is just amazing because, I mean, it usually doesn't, where we are in the mountains, it doesn't get more than about 80, 85 degrees. And then it gets down to about 69, 70, but that's it. It stays in that range all the time. We don't have air conditioning. We're up in the mountains at about 1,200 feet. And we have big ceiling fans. We actually just reinstalled all the ceiling fans to these ceiling fans. They're almost like a jet engine. But when they're on, like we're sitting underneath one right now, and I don't know how warm it is right now. It's probably about 80, 85 right now.
But the humidity, it doesn't get uncomfortable?
It's not very humid. I should say that we do have an air conditioning unit. We've never turned it on in 3 years. Because we have cross ventilation. And the way they build houses here, you have screens all in the top of your houses, and you have cross ventilation everywhere. So it's always breezy in our house. It's never uncomfortable.
So as far as the humidity, it's high. But it really seems like, as long as you're not, like if I'm doing something, if I'm cleaning a room or walking around the property or whatever, I'm sweating. But if I'm just sitting here and relaxing underneath a ceiling fan, it's humid, but it's not like, I don't know. It's weird because like when I lived in Atlanta, I would sweat more than I sweat here. And I don't know. And you had to have air conditioning in Atlanta. And I don't know if it's just the way they build the homes here with the cross ventilation and like, our home particularly has all screens at the upper part of the ceiling. So all the hot air goes out. And so it seems like it's very comfortable in the house all the time. Now, you can have air conditioning down here. I mean, obviously. I mean, when some people, they always want air conditioning. So I don't like it. And it's funny because I just went to visit friends in Arizona. You guys haven't gotten up to your 110 already, but it was pretty warm. But it wasn't, I think it had not even hit 100 when I went. But my friends remember when I lived in Arizona, that I would put the air conditioning down to 69 or 70 because I had to have it cold.
Right.
And they were like willing to do that when I came to visit. And they had it down to like 78 when I came. And I was cold. And I said, I don't like air conditioning anymore. Like, I don't even need it anymore. So my body has acclimated to it. And it doesn't feel as bad as I thought it would be. Now, when you're doing stuff, carrying luggage for guests, moving around, you're going to sweat.
You're going to feel it.
But it's definitely very comfortable, I think.
But that's great.
Because you're wearing a tank top.
And especially you guys coming from Phoenix, from Arizona, Fountain Hills, it's dry. Anything over 20% humidity is, it's humid out.
Right.
So,
and I don't feel it. I just don't feel the humidity. I know it's there. I'm not going to lie. It's there. Because we look at our weather station and it's 90% humidity. I'm like, and I'm just like, how is that possible? I don't feel it.
What's your elevation? What's your elevation?
1,200 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we look we have this thing and it says our humidity and it'll be like 83%. And we're like, it can't possibly be 83%. It feels cool and refreshing. Like, is this thing broken?
Yeah.
And we always still feel like, I think this thing doesn't work right because it can't possibly be 83% humidity because it feels cool and fresh and
in Florida, 83% humidity, you'd be wanting to take a shower.
Right. Exactly. Of course, that's up here in the mountains. We're 1,200 feet.
Yep.
There's all these
Florida's
trees.
Flat.
We're in. So when you go in town, when you're where all the asphalt and the cement is, it's kind of hot. So it's kind of humid and it's kind of sticky. So actually, I should say, yes, you can feel it when you're not up in the mountains with the cool breeze that's blowing in. And one of the things that I've learned from going to other people's houses and is we live above the jungle canopy. And what that means is the trees are covering you or they're not covering you. So when you live in the jungle, you have all the trees over the top of you and you're kind of situated inside the canopy, it's called. We're above that. So I think the weather, in my opinion, you might get some people that live in the jungle saying differently. I think the weather up where we are is just so much better because the trees aren't blocking it. The air is always flowing. Even during rainy season, we still have some light coming in because it's not dark because it's covered by all the trees.
And fewer bugs
and
because
fewer
we're
bugs
above the canopy.
Because we're above the canopy.
That's good for me.
So, yeah. So I feel like living above the canopy is like ideal.
Our house is on stilts, actually.
Yeah. And it's less wet because the trees hold all that water, which may be another reason why you don't feel so much humidity when you're up here in the mountain jungle is because the trees are absorbing all of that humidity, maybe. I don't know. I mean, but I just know I do not feel what I thought I was going to feel when we moved down here.
And since you're at that level, you don't get flooding, do you?
Not really. Flooding as far as when there's a huge storm that caused the flooding that Joe was talking about earlier. No, you can have water issues because, I mean, rain can come down at 3 to 4 inches an hour.
Wow.
And we can get 10 inches of rain in a day.
Wow. Where's
so
it go?
If you're not taking, 10 inches in a day. If you're not taking care of water mitigation, you could have some flooding, but not flooding in per se, like your whole house gets flooded out, but your property may have some issues. I mean, water mitigation is probably one of the biggest things you have to take care of.
It is key. When we came down here, that was a big part of our renovation is water mitigation, making sure that we can tolerate a massive torrential 10 inches of rain. We put in cunetas, which are gutters, and reinforced a lot of walls with retaining walls. And now we can have a massive torrential storm and our property is just rock solid.
Wow.
Well, except when we had the landslide last October. We had done what we thought was all the water mitigation we had to do, but it still happened. And it can still happen. I mean,
yeah, and so for that landslide.
When is the rainy season? So we'll let our listeners know not to visit during then.
So it's dry. Dry season is from December 1st through about May 1st. And then it starts what's called the rainy season or the green season. And that's from May through the end of August is the rainy green season. But then from like September 15th, November 15th, it just torrential rain.
Wow.
It is so much rain. In fact, we made a decision to just close the hotel for those 2 months. Actually, we're kind of open, but it just, because we want our guests to have a great experience, and it's
right,
hard
right.
when it just rains so much. And we love the rain because it's part of the jungle. It needs that 2 months of torrential rain. So again, from May through the end of August, beginning of September, it rains, but mostly in the afternoon for sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes 4 hours, but it's usually in the afternoon.
Like a fire.
And when the rain comes down, it comes down. And like, if you don't build a McMansion where you actually put in ceiling tiles, your roof tiles, and you don't put in like sound canceling insulation, we can't even hear each other talk when we're having a big rainstorm. I mean, it's like, you basically just have, but it's kind of nice. You disconnect because you can't watch TV. You can't do anything. So you kind of just sit there and watch the rain come down. And what's amazing is it literally can come down 3 inches to 4 inches an hour. And you're thinking, oh my God, we're going to go outside and we're going to have to build Noah's Ark. And you go back outside the next morning. You're like, well, where did all that rain go? And the jungle just takes it in. And it's just amazing. It's like, I'm still amazed. Even after I will be like, oh my God, it's a huge rain. And we'll go outside expecting to find puddles of water and things like that, but it's all gone.
So it's August, and so it's now, right?
Yeah, it should be super raining right now, but actually we have the El Nino effect. So El Nino pattern causes more rain in California, for example, but actually less rain in Central America.
Oh,
so it's the opposite. So we just entered El Nino. So our rainy season this year has been actually really dry. In fact, we have guests who are like, we want a rainstorm.
Yeah.
Because you sit on your balcony. We have all of our casitas have these big, beautiful balconies overlooking the mountains. And the couple of them, you have a partial ocean view as well. And we have this massive balcony at our house. And there's nothing more exciting than watching a torrential storm. So we have guests right now who are like, we want to see a big storm and sit on our balcony, glass of wine. And we're like, sorry, it's just, we haven't had any rain all week. I know it's rainy season, but it's just not happening for some reason.
Yeah, it does. It looks beautiful from the pictures.
Yeah.
So we talked about making community and everything. Is it easy to make friends and make community? Like when you got there, I mean, you said people were really nice. Do you have a bunch of friends, expats or locals?
Yeah, mostly expats. And it was easy because, and had we known this, we would have bought on our mountain quicker or not. I mean, we bought, so our mountain we bought, we didn't know, even know, like we had no idea when we first bought it that everybody was going to be so amazing and there was going to be such a great community. Had we known, we would have bought faster. I mean, not really, but what I'm getting at is, it was an added benefit that we had no idea about. But once we did it, we were like, oh my God, if someone had told us that, we would have like immediately wanted to buy it even more. Now, there might be some places you move to that maybe it's not like that. But for the most part, what we've heard is you move into these areas and where there's a lot of expats, they all help each other. Because especially down here in Costa Rica, because everybody's kind of on the like mindset. We're down here because we want a simpler life. We want to enjoy nature, and most of us were getting away from the U.S. for some reason, whatever that reason may be, and we wanted a different experience. And so we all are like-minded for that reason. So we stick together and we help each other.
Is Spanish a must in Costa Rica?
So no and yes. I came down here not knowing, I mean, I knew taco, burrito. I knew the words that are common in Spanish.
Right.
And it's frustrating, let's say. There's a lot of expats that they don't know a lick of English. And I mean, lick of Spanish. And they come down here and they live and it's fine. And if you live in a tourist town, and we do.
It's easier.
A lot of the tourist places, restaurants, things like that speak English. But when you need to go into the bank or you need to go into the electric company or you need to go into the free clinic,
I was going to say the hospital or something.
Free medical. Hospital. The knowing Spanish helps a lot, especially like if you decide not to do, and I'm sure we're going to talk about healthcare in a minute, but if you decide to do the public healthcare here and you become a resident, you use public healthcare, you are going to be lucky if you go into the hospital or clinic and find a English speaking doctor or nurse or whatever. So it can be very difficult. Now, if you do the private healthcare, which is another option here, and it's not that expensive, we can talk more about that later, but you know, they'll speak English. But I feel like, and I'll be honest, I came down here no Spanish. I got frustrated because I go into our local hardware store and there'd be one person speaking English and everybody that needed him would want him. And so I forced myself to learn Spanish. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be doing an immersion class in a couple of weeks. I feel like you should probably try to learn it if you come down here, at least have some knowledge, but it's not an absolute requirement. I mean, especially with Google Translate. I mean, when I first got down here, I had to do a trip to the bank. I knew no Spanish. I sat at the window with her. We went back and forth with Google Translate. Yeah. So but it's frustrating.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
Because when I first got down here, I didn't even want to go shopping because especially to the hardware store, because I'd be like, I don't know how to talk to them.
Right.
And I'd be like so frustrated. And on the flip side of that, I kind of feel like this is all my fault. We were moving to a Spanish speaking country. I should have learned Spanish before I came. So I feel like, again, do you need it? You don't have to, but should you? Yeah.
It's helpful. And the locals will appreciate it.
And they do.
Even
if
you don't. Even if you don't know the language well and they find that you're struggling, in most cases, I think they're going to be okay.
100%. So I've noticed as I've started learning Spanish more, if I go to a restaurant that they do know how to speak English, but I start speaking Spanish to them, they're friendlier. It's like almost like they're friendlier. They're nicer. And I always tell them, I'm learning Spanish. Be easy with me.
Go slow.
Go slow. But they're just, it seems like you get more respect.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't think of you as just someone coming into their country, not trying.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, again, you don't have to, but I think you should.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. I'll put myself in that position. So like if somebody were coming to the U.S. and living in the U.S. and didn't know English or broken English, people in the U.S. are not as patient as they should be. But I would just help the person and try to understand what they're trying to say. But unfortunately, most people here are not that way.
Yeah. No, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, Keith came here with zero Spanish, and my Spanish was pretty good already when we arrived here. And Keith, man, he went into it. He put into time, Duolingo, and now he went from zero to pretty proficient with at least basic stuff,
kind of
like
great
caveman Spanish, like where is wrench?
Right.
Clean room.
Or grocery store Spanish.
Tree.
Yeah.
So, but he gets by. We have cleaning people and landscapers, and we have workers who come do maintenance work, and we're always at the grocery store or
that's so important
store. And I tell
you, it makes life easier.
It makes life easier.
So much easier. And it's so much fun. Like, I mean, we're not young anymore, and so that's why I equate the fact that it's harder for me to learn. But
come on, you're young.
It's just been harder for me to learn because my brain just can't hold on to it. But like yesterday, we were on a great catamaran tour of Manuel Antonio. We try to give ourselves a break. Running the hotel is a lot of work. It's an amazing experience for any of your listeners that want to get into it. In 2 or 3 years, contact us. Maybe we'll sell the hotel. I'm kidding, but we don't know. But it is an amazing experience. And you get to meet so many people from around the world. Yep. You get to talk to people but we have to give ourselves a break because we work so hard. So yesterday we had given ourselves a break and we went out on one of the tours that our guests go on. We had an amazing time, but there was a lot of Costa Ricans on this tour for some reason. And so I'm out in the ocean swimming and I started talking to them and they spoke English, but they asked me if I spoke Spanish. And I said, well, I'm learning. And I said that in Spanish. And I said, it's muy difícil para mí. It's very difficult for me to learn. And she was just like, okay, well, we're practicing now. And I said, uh-oh. So she was so cute. She was like, she said, okay, so I'm going to ask you, where do you live and why do you live there and how long have you lived there? And you are going to listen to that and you are going to reply in Spanish, not in English. And I said, oh, okay. So she said it exactly like that. And I understood everything she said. And I replied back in Spanish and she corrected me when I said a few things wrong. And then she said, okay, now we're going to talk a little bit more about why did you move here and why didn't you move to Cuna? She was so cool. And I was actually talking to her in Spanish. And I was like,
that's
oh my
great.
God, I just had a conversation in Spanish.
That's
so, and it's kind of like if you came down here not knowing it and you try to learn, you feel like you've accomplished something. I feel so good when I speak Spanish, but I'm still scared to speak Spanish.
I hear you. I totally get it. So tell us what the local economy is like. What is it if I wanted to buy a home, let's say two bedroom, two bath home? Do you have any idea?
So it's everywhere from you can buy something for $150,000 to $1.2 million or $3 million. There's no real
more
even more than that. I mean, we have some friends that were looking at properties, condos in San Jose, the big city. And I wouldn't want to live there, but some people, that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some beautiful places in San Jose, don't get me wrong, like Santa Ana and Grecia and places like that.
Escazú.
And they're more like living in a U.S. place. They have all the modern conveniences. But there were some condos there that they were showing me pictures and they were $150,000. And I was like,
wow.
Two bedrooms, beautiful, on a third floor.
Brand new high rise.
It was like
wow, with the water view.
$1,000. And then we have a friend that's buying something in Hako and he's paying $275,000 for it. And it's on the ocean and it's only one bedroom. And what's like, that's beautiful as well. Brand new build. And then you have some people that are buying places on our mountain that are multi-million dollar homes. So it there's something for everyone. Just like for renting, we have a friend that used to rent down here at the beach in kind of a hostel type hotel type place, but it was a long-term rental and he was paying $350, $400 a month. But then you can rent a place like ours and you'd probably have to pay $1,500 a month, but then you could rent a place up higher on the mountain that has 3-4 bedrooms and overlooks the ocean for $5,000 a month. So again, it depends on what you really want and how you want to live down here. So there's something for everybody.
So what do you think cost of living an average during a month? Is it hard to?
It's hard to say because it depends on, again, how do you want to live? Mm-hmm. If you have to have Heinz ketchup, you have to have Genoa salami, you have to have Manchego cheese and Australian wines, well, you're not going to live on a cheap budget down here. If you come down here and you're okay with imperial beer, you're okay with just cheddar cheese, and you're okay with vegetables and rice and beans and things like that, your budget can be considerably less. I would say if you want to live down here modestly, you could probably live down here without rent. Like you've already bought your place and you're wanting to live down here, probably modestly $1,500 to $2,000 a month.
Not bad at all.
Modest, not right. You're not going to go out to dinner all the time. You're going to be cooking more. You're not going to be buying imported products. That's the big thing. You're going to be buying local products. So you're going to be buying fruits, vegetables. You're not going to go after, I'm just using this as an example, but you're not going to buy Ragu spaghetti sauce. You're going to buy the local spaghetti sauce.
Right, right.
You're not going to buy the high-end bread. You're going to buy local bread from the bakery. It just depends on what style you want to live in. I mean, I know there are people that live down here for even less than that. They live down here for like $1,000 to $1,500 a month. I would say our budget is, when we go out to eat and stuff, our budget's more on the $2,500 to $3,500 for us. And that includes going out to eat more. That includes some travel. So, and we have two internet lines. I mean, there's fiber optic internet here. It also depends on how much internet speed you want. We also love watching our TV at night. So we have streaming services. We could easily cut back and probably be down to $2,000 a month and live very nicely. But going out to eat has gotten expensive.
How about electric? Is electric expensive?
Okay.
You don't have air conditioning, so.
No, but when we first moved down here, electric was a lot cheaper and it started to go up a lot. So our whole entire property is basically a swimming pool, two laundry rooms, two kitchens, our house and four rooms that also have ceiling fans and mini kitchens in them. And we were only paying like $300 a month.
Wow.
We paid more in Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, lately it's almost doubled. No one knows why. The government owns the
electric company.
The electric company, so they can do whatever they want. They don't have to ask anybody. So I'm hoping it's not going to go up more. Honestly, $550 a month for running an entire hotel with basically 6 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms, 2 full kitchens, 4 kitchenettes, and 2 laundry rooms and a pool does not seem expensive.
Not bad.
But again, if you had a very small, modest house, one of our friends, his electric bill is only $150 a month. No air condition again. Air condition actually, surprisingly, if you only run it when you're going to sleep at night, which is what most people do, does not cost that much. They have the inverter, I think it's called, air conditions or something, which are very energy efficient. And most people just run it at night to cool themselves off before they go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, how do you want to live? You can live very inexpensively down here, or you can be spending a lot of money. If you want your place to be completely air conditioned and climate controlled year round, every day of the year, your electric bill is probably going to be $1,000 a month.
Okay.
I should add a few other things. In Costa Rica, about 95% of all the electricity they produce themselves from hydroelectric power. So they have an abundance of electricity. So because of that, for the locals, I think it's slightly even subsidized. And even gas is slightly subsidized. Gas is not too expensive. It's a tiny bit more than in the United States, but not much. It
depends on where. California is more. Actually, gas in California is actually more than gas down here.
Yeah, that's true.
Gas in Arizona is pretty high too.
Yeah, so here it's like, I don't know, like $4.50 a gallon?
No, it's up to about $5.50 now.
Okay.
Well, we use diesel. So diesel here is about $5.50 a gallon.
Regular gas is like $4.50 now.
About $4.75 or $5.25 a gallon, maybe $5.50. It's when I was back in the U.S. and I saw the prices, I was like, well, it's pretty close.
But everyone needs a car, correct?
Again, that depends. We do because we're up in the mountains. You could, I'm not saying you'd want to, but you could buy a side-by-side, which is like an ATV, like a Jeep, like, what do you call it? Like a motorcycle type thing, four mm-hmm. wheels. And you could buy just one of those, although that's expensive. So I would say, referring cost of living, cars and ATVs or side-by-sides are very expensive. They're almost double the price of the U.S. So if you're going to come down here and buy a car, or buy one of those side-by-sides, be ready for that to be a shocking amount to buy. But if you live in town, in a town somewhere, you don't have to have a car. But if you live up in the mountains, you have to have something. If you live in a beach town and you want to live in a beach place, if you live in San Jose, you could get away with not having something. You could walk to places. There is bus transportation. You can take a taxi.
Does Uber exist?
They don't have Uber, but they have taxis and they have a taxi stand.
They have Uber in San Jose and they have Uber in Hako. Some of the bigger cities have Uber, but it's funny because I don't think it's like, I called it Uber one time in San Jose and I thought his car was going to fall apart. So it's not as up. I think if you really want, I mean, it's cheap. I mean, I got from one side from the airport to the hotel with Uber and it was like $5. And a taxi is like 15, but it was an older car. He didn't put the air conditioner on. He left the windows down. It was a little bit of a different kind of service than you would expect in the U.S. with Uber.
Gotcha. A couple other things I want to add about the cost of living here. I get my haircut for $8. I go to a gym that has everything I need, pretty decent gyms, kind of in a basement, but it's a decent size. And it really has everything. And it's $45 a month. I play tennis and a lot of people play pickleball. We have mm-hmm. tennis and pickleball courts. We pay like next to nothing to belong to the country club that has a tennis court. I think I pay $150 a year to use that tennis court. And I think right now the pickleball courts, I think they're free.
Well, they're free until the guy. So they're building some courts and stuff and the guy is going to open it up. And I think they're going to be like $35, $40 a month. But the thing is, again, as far as some of your listeners, it depends on what you want. You can find a Costa Rican place, a gym to work out in, probably even cheaper. You can buy your own equipment. They do have equipment down here you can buy and have your own gym in your own house. So it is what you make it as far as cost of living. You can come down here and you could live on a very tight budget. We've got a few people that we know that they're living on Social Security of $1,500, $1,800 a month and they're making it just fine. But then again, your life is different.
Right.
You can't work when you get down here because you can't work. You have to be a resident to work. And you have to be a full-time resident. You wouldn't want to anyways because you'd be making $3 an hour anyhow. But you can do some things like dog sitting or something like that. You could, if you want to supplement your income. So you can do some things that are under the radar. But
podcasting doesn't pay. So sorry. Huh? I was saying podcasting, but that doesn't pay.
Well, a lot of people do come down here, and the internet actually, surprisingly, can be expensive when you're in towns like we're in. But like in San Jose and in the metropolitan area up there, it's to get fiber optic internet's not too bad, and you can get a battery backup that'll last 6 hours if the power goes out. And you can get a remote job if you're coming down here to retire early, like we did. You get a remote job, come down here and work remotely from here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, if you have a U.S. salary of a couple thousand dollars a month or more, you know, working remotely, you're going to live like a king down here or a queen down here.
Yeah. So.
And I should add that the reason why some things are really expensive is that anything that is imported that's not manufactured in Costa Rica mm-hmm. or in Central America, I believe, gets hit with a 20 to 40% import tax.
It depends on the item. So
if you were to buy a car in the United States for $30,000, that exact same car in Costa Rica would be 40,000.
Wow. Yeah.
That's closer to the tax.
45,000. I mean, but one of the things is you can all, there's duty free down at the Panama border.
Yeah.
And it's all regulated. So you have to show your passport and you get registered. And they allow every individual to buy $3,300 per year of non tax. So we'll go down there. And sometimes we'll grab a couple friends and we'll go down to the border and we'll eat at the marina and stuff like that. And we'll buy cases of wine, we'll buy appliances, you can buy furniture. It's like an open-air mall, tax-free mall. So there's 20, 30 different stores. And so that's kind of if you want to save money, a couple of times a year, drive down to the border and load up.
Or you can just do it once and load everything up, because you're given an amount that you're allowed to buy based on your passport, so...
Yeah,
and I forgot the exact number, but
I think it's $3,300 per person per year.
Okay. Guys, what do you do for arts and culture? It's a jungle, so.
So it depends. I mean, in the jungle, it's a little bit less, like, I don't think I've been to a movie theater in 3 years. So there's no movie theaters here in the jungle. We do have the community theater Joe was talking about, and they're somewhat active most of the time. But a lot of the expats do travel too. They do live down here. They've retired down here, but some of them will leave for a few months and be gone. So I think right now the local theater just hasn't had any productions because a lot of people are traveling. But they do have some productions. But there's no, I mean, it's an outdoor theater. It is covered, but it's not like going to a theater in the United States here in the jungle. Now, in San Jose, they have movie theaters. They have a regular theater for arts and stuff like that.
Comedy clubs.
And stuff like that. But in the jungle, it's a little less. I mean, it's not the same, but they do every once in a while have a theater production. They did a great theater production of The Greatest Showman about a year ago or a little bit longer.
Steel Magnolias.
They did Steel Magnolias in a little... It's almost like someone's house, but it had a stage on it. And they do a good enough job, but it's definitely community theater.
Right. It's jungle.
Community at its best as far as being in the jungle. But actually, there is a few people that have moved down here. One woman in particular was actually a Broadway star at one point. And she came down here and she was in The Greatest Showman. And she was a former Broadway star. So in the jungle down here. So It's what you get. And
there's also other groups. There's a crafts group. There are a bunch of people get together and they paint, which is sometimes an excuse to just drink.
Yeah.
But they're actually really talented. Oh my gosh, the stuff they paint. They do a lot of rock painting.
That's because they're drunk.
Because they're drunk, yeah.
Because they're drunk,
yeah. Because they're drunk.
And then there's poker every other Thursday night or every other Thursday.
Well, that just depends on your group.
So your group, wherever you're at, there's always stuff
going on. You can always find something.
I love deep sea fishing. So there's a group that go out deep sea fishing.
Which is very expensive.
It's expensive, but it's a lot of fun. You go out for the day and, you know, I really enjoy that. So there's always stuff to do. And people are always having pool parties or barbecues or birthday parties or Thanksgiving and Christmas parties. So there's always stuff going on.
Okay.
Seems like there is.
Is there any restaurant scene, so to speak? Good restaurants in town?
So you go up to San Jose and you've got everything. Down by us, we've got a great mix of restaurants. We've got a great Indian restaurant. We've got a great Mexican restaurant. We have a fusion restaurant that we just love to go to. Prices have gone up, but no more than the U.S. And then on the flip side of that, there are some really cute sodas, which a soda is like a diner almost, but it's a Costa Rican place. And you can go in and eat very cheaply. So again, it's all of what you make out of it and how much you want to spend. I would say that in our direct area, there's no like fine dining. You're not going to go out and dress up and go out to dinner.
You're not going to find a 5-star.
Yeah. I mean, in Ojachal, which is the town next to us, there are some upscale restaurants. And if you wanted to dress up a little bit, when I say dress up, is put on a collared shirt and maybe some nicer shorts than workout shorts. You could do that, you know. If you go up to San Jose, it's the culture is a little bit different up there. It's a city, so you could dress up if you wanted to, and people do. And there's some great restaurants up there. For some reason, there's a lot of Indian food down here. And one of our favorite Indian restaurants is up in San Jose. There's another one up in Liberia that's just amazing. And it's a mixture of food down here. Costa Rican food is not like spicy and stuff. It's more rice and beans and chicken and fish and stuff like that. And you can go to a soda and get that for a good price. But it's not like the U.S. where you've got restaurants on every corner and you can
right.
walk down a block and pick 50 different restaurants. You're definitely going to have to drive to it and find your restaurant that you want to go to. But there's nothing better than just like one of our favorite restaurants is up. It's close up on the hill and you sit there and you watch the sunset over the ocean. I mean,
yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, you just can't beat that. It's just like you're sitting there and you're in heaven. It's almost like, it's like, oh my God, this is just amazing.
Yeah. Tell us about what's the crime like? Is there any crime? I mean, you said you're on a one-way dirt road or a road.
Yeah,
so
in our
there's not many people coming in and out.
Very little crime in our mountain. Very little. But there's every country has crime, and there's pockets of areas that have crime. We live in a relatively safe area. I think on the Caribbean side, there's a bit of the drug trade that's in the Limon area, but they have really good police force and stuff. But I mean, the crime, it's a pretty safe country. That's been our experience.
I would say it's no more or no less than the United States in some places.
Are guns allowed?
Not really.
Really? it's regulated. Hard to own a gun. You can.
I mean, we don't know the rules exactly, but what we've heard is you have to be a citizen, I think. You have to have a reason. And then I've never heard of a mass shooting down here or anything like that. I don't think those guns are even allowed down here, like the assault rifles. I think when they say you can own a gun, it's more like a rifle
hunting.
Or a pistol or hunting or things like that. I mean, they're down here. Let's face it, we're in Central America, near Panama, near Colombia. I mean, obviously there's drug trades going through.
Yeah.
But it's nothing anymore. I've never felt more like dangerous than I would in a U.S. city. So funny, like, we were on a cruise last year and we met somebody and said they were from the U.S. and we met them on the cruise and they were very like Southern and they were like, we were like, we live in Costa Rica. And they're like, oh, are you scared to live down there? Is the crime really bad? Are you afraid you're going to get robbed? I mean, just talk to us like that. And I was like, and my answer was, I just said,
no,
not any worse than I felt when I was in the United States. I said, actually, I felt more scared in the United States.
United
and they were
States.
Like, they shut up, you know, they were like, and it's just, you know, is it here? Yeah, it's here. But
a lot of petty crime in some areas.
I mean, but there have been some people that have been, you know, I mean, you can't, Joe likes to lay like covers on things and like make it better. But I mean, there have been some house robberies where they've come in and held you by gunpoint. But the interesting thing is some people have said those guns probably weren't real, but no one wanted to find out. Like they came in and they wanted to rob you and give them whatever they want. But it's funny.
Or no bullets.
Bullets because they can't buy the bullets.
Can't afford to buy bullets.
So who knows? No one wants to find out. But that's very rare and it does happen. We have security cameras. We have our mountain has a security guard at the bottom of the mountain. So we feel fairly safe where we are. You can get in gated communities here. There's a lot of people that look out for each other. And again, the expats stick together. So in general, I would say it's not any worse or not any better than the United States.
Okay. And how about, let's go on to healthcare. What's healthcare like? Do you have, where's the nearest hospital to you? If you needed a surgery, do you go back to the U.S.? Do you stay,
to
Costa Rica?
We have a lot of options with healthcare. The first thing you have is once you become a resident, you can get the public healthcare. The hospital for us is about 30 minutes away. It's a regional hospital, so they don't do everything there. The major hospital is in San Jose, and you would go there if you had major, like needed something. You had a heart attack and needed care.
How far is San Jose?
About 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours.
But we do have a local hospital. It's regional that will take you and get you stable and all that. And it's about 30-minute drive. The big thing is when you live like where we live, you have to have a 4x4. So if you have a medical emergency, you're going to have to get down to the main road to get the ambulance to get you somewhere. You can always pay for airlifting by helicopter to the hospital in San Jose. Again, public hospitals are exactly that. They're public. You get them with residency. You pay a little bit into it when they come once you get residency. But
private
healthcare is really good as well. We have a private healthcare insurance. It will go up every year. It's not like your insurance that you would get with a pension or something in the U.S. or with work. But both of us are insured and we're paying less than $600 a month. We have a $1,000 deductible. We can go to any of the private hospitals. The closest private hospital that we could go to is an hour and a half away in San Ysidro, which is the next biggest city. But if we wanted to go to San Jose for something, about 3.5 hours away, they've got top-notch, amazing hospitals, and our insurance would cover that we have. And then in general, though, even if you didn't have that, healthcare is not that expensive. Right. You could self-insure yourself. We had a friend that just had major back surgery, and it was $6,000, and they just paid it out because it depends on your health condition. Right. And if you become a resident and you get the public healthcare and you're on like a medication that you need to take, like a stabilizing, what do you call that? What kind of medication?
Blood pressure.
Well, no, when you're on a cholesterol.
Cholesterol or something, whatever it may be, as long as they have that medication down here and it's something that they prescribe, it's free in the public system, you know?
How much do you pay in the private system? Do you have a monthly?
Well, so we have private health insurance. We pay it every month, but every time we've had any medical anything, we never use it because we just don't want our premiums to go up. So I had to have an MRI because I was having a lot of neck problems and I was concerned about it. And I had an MRI up at the hospital. It's an hour away from here. State-of-the-art everything, beautiful, perfect service. Everything was just as good as you'd get in the United States. And it was $400 out of pocket for an MRI.
No insurance. I mean, they just...
No insurance or anything. And actually, it would have been cheaper. It would have been $370, except I wanted it with contrast. But you get a full report and everything. Went to have a full physical, everything, blood work, the whole shot. Great doctor, spoke perfect English, right here in town in Uvita. And the whole thing was, I think, $180, which it's not $50, but
right,
that's without insurance, just out of pocket. And a full thing of labs
bad.
And full checkup.
$180. B500 here. So
yeah, exactly.
Healthcare is accessible and you have public and private. Okay.
Yeah.
Another just one thing to add is a lot of the pharmacies are staffed by mid-level providers. So if you have an issue, you can just go to most
pharmacies.
I don't know if it's all pharmacy. I don't know if it's law, but I know the pharmacies here in town at Uvita are staffed by mid-level providers where they'll actually take you into an exam room, really talk to you. You got a foot, let me see your foot. They'll take you back and they'll take your blood pressure. They'll check it. And then
I think
so
they have
it's
that
kind
in
of
Europe,
nice
too.
That you can actually, if you're having a problem, if you have a flu or if you have a rash or whatever it is, ear infection or you have something
go to the
wrong
pharmacy.
With your, you can go to the pharmacist and the mid-level will take you back in the exam room and say, okay.
How far is your pharmacy from you?
Well, there's like five pharmacies in town.
So for some reason, Uvita has like crazy. And then we have an urgent care, which is really good. And that's where Joe went for, because they also do, I mean, they're urgent care, but they also do regular x-rays
and
labs and all that stuff. And like they'll bring down a person from the main hospital to do like colonoscopies and stuff. And it's like $350 for the colonoscopy. Again, no insurance. You're just paying out of pocket.
Yeah.
So it's doable without insurance. We have the private health insurance. God forbid one of us gets cancer. God forbid one of us has a heart attack. So we really have it kind of as urgent. We're just not using it. And it's for both of us to have that policy, which it's $1 million policy each, $1,000 deductible, and it's less than $600 a month. I think it was $550 a month for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a policy that also is acceptable in the U.S. for 3 months, but at a higher deductible. So if we go back to the U.S. for 3 months at a time, we can actually still be insured there. So it's a very good policy that we have for the private. And I would highly recommend it if it's within your budget. But I mean, it can be like $600 a month for two people. So,
right.
Oh, and I should say the dental care here is excellent.
Yeah.
Uvita.
It's still kind of expensive.
It's not. It's cheaper than the United States with insurance. I got a crown and a root canal, and I think it was like $400.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's about half the price.
Yeah.
But it's still expensive. I mean, it's not Like I have to have a implant done, and it was about half the price, but still not cheap because it's dentistry. But it's interesting because the dentistry here, the dentist can also be your person that cleans your teeth, because when they go to dental school here, they have to do everything. So they'll be the person doing everything.
Okay, great. Tell us a little bit about the visa process. How did you guys get here? Did you have to go to the consulate in the States? And did you have to go to California?
It's very easy to just come here. You come here and you become a tourist and you have 90 days. And for that 90 days, you can stay here, you can drive, and then you have to leave. And no visa, no nothing. You just come down and you just say you have to have a ticket that you're leaving within 90 days. And then you file for residency if you want it. There's several options for residency. There's investing in the country and buying something. I'm not going to give numbers because they've changed. I don't remember what they were. But if you buy a house or buy a business or invest a certain amount, I want to say it's $200,000, but I don't remember. Then you can get investor status residency. You can also get a residency where you put $60,000 into a bank account down here and withdraw the $2,500 a month out of it. And you have to make sure that every 2 years, $60,000 is in there. And I don't remember the name of that one, but that's another residency that you can apply for. Another one you can apply for is a pension residency. As long as your pension is more than a certain amount, and I forgot that number, and you can prove it, like Social Security or an actual pension from a company. Mm-hmm. You can file for residency with that. And then there's also a new one that is actually called a nomad, digital nomad one. Mm-hmm. But that one only allows you to stay here for 2 years and then you can't come back. You have to go and leave, and then you have to wait a year or something before you can get residency. But if you only want to be down here for 2 years, you can get that one. They all require you going with an attorney. I mean, people do it on their own, but I wouldn't recommend it. And you get an attorney and you have all this paperwork. It's not a cheap process. And the older you are, the quicker your residency goes. Like if you're 65 or older, it goes through the system faster. Mm-hmm. But you need to find a good attorney. Make sure you talk to some people before you do it and get their recommendation. And it can take anywhere from 1 to 3 years to get residency. So in the meantime, every 90 days you have to leave.
Do you start it in the States or do you start it in Costa Rica?
You have to be here. So you start it here.
Okay.
So you come down here like you're just going to stay here on vacation and then you just leave every 90 days. If you don't want to drive, there is a provision in the law. Once you file your residency, you do not have to leave anymore. But if you do leave at any point, you have to show a 90-day ticket. Laws down here are kind of crazy. But if you file residency and it's in process, according to immigration, you do not have to leave every 90 days. But if you want to drive a car, you have to get it renewed every 90 days in your passport.
Do they accept U.S. driver's license or do you have to take another test?
Yeah, so your U.S. driver's license along with your passport with a 90-day stamp is your driver's license.
Wow.
And a 90-day stamp is what I was talking about. Once you come in, if you want to drive, you've got 90 days on your passport.
Gotcha.
Now, could just drive up to Venezuela.
Nicaragua?
I mean, Nicaragua, sorry. You can just drive up to Nicaragua, which we've done, and just cross the border and literally come back into Costa Rica 30 minutes later.
Wow.
And
renew your
passport restamped.
Of course, that's actually called is being a perpetual tourist and not having any desire to become a resident.
Right.
Supposedly, Costa Rica is going to start cracking down on that. We'll see. But we do have our residency in process. It's just taking a lot longer. We went with a company that went out of business. So we unfortunately got stuck in that. That's why I said, make sure you don't just go for an attorney that you see online that sounds good. Talk to people before you come down here. And that's been my biggest thing that I tell people is before you move down here, if you're not quite sure, get that community going and meet some people and talk to them.
Right.
And find out who did they use as their attorney, who did they use as their accountant, and get good recommendations to people. And not just necessarily cheap recommendations, because just because they're cheap doesn't mean they're going to be good.
Right. Guys, do you miss anything that you don't have in Costa Rica that you might have had in the States?
Good cheese.
Cheese.
Good cheese, yeah.
You hear that? Audience has to, you have to send cheese.
Please send good cheese. Yeah.
It's funny. We actually had a guest that stayed here and they travel with cheese. I don't know. I've never heard of a person traveling with cheese, but they were from the Netherlands and they travel with a big, round thing of cheese. It probably weighs 5 pounds and they put it in their luggage and they left us a big slice of it before they left. And we were like, oh my God, this is so good.
That's so
funny. But yeah, I would say cheese, but I would say there are times when I miss the conveniences of everything just being right there. And that's living in the jungle. If you lived in San Jose, everything is right there. They have the Walmart, they have the Costco. It's a different name, but they have everything in San Jose. Mm-hmm. But when you decide to live in the jungle, there are times when I'm just like, oh my God, I really just miss the fact that I can just go somewhere and they're going to have what I need.
Right.
So that can be frustrating at times but I usually go back, pour myself a glass of wine, sit on my balcony, and I'm like, oh my gosh, never mind. I don't really need that anymore.
Right. Right.
I miss perfectly paved roads everywhere. The highways are really well paved and some of the secondary roads are well paved. We have a really good road committee for our mountains. So we keep our mountain road, which is really steep. We keep it in good shape, but there's this section I have to drive into town that's about a kilometer I really can't stand. So that gives me a little grumpy I have to go into town every day because I go to the gym or go grocery shopping and stuff like that. And I'm just trying to not let it bother me anymore because, again, the highways are in really great shape and the bridges and a lot of that sort of stuff. But on our mountain, there's 1 kilometer that...
it's not on our mountain, it's in our town.
Yeah, it's in our town that, oh boy, I have to drive through it every single day and it gets me a little grouchy.
And I guess that's one of the things that it doesn't do that to me. It does it to him for some reason. But I mean, I don't like it. But if you're going to live here, make sure a lot of people will say, and we did not do this. I don't regret anything. The road doesn't make me grouchy. But maybe rent and see if you like the place as much before you actually decide to buy a place. Because it will be a little difficult to sell. Like when we go to sell, it will be probably a little difficult. I mean, we'll probably have to be on the market for a little while to find the right buyer. Mm-hmm. But make sure the area that you're going to is what you really want. If you think if you fall in love with it and you just like we did, let the universe speak to you and do what you need to do. But if you're unsure and you think the road is going to make you nervous, or if you think that it doesn't have good access to healthcare that you can find, then rent there for a little while until you know if it's the city you want. Because otherwise you could be stuck if you buy something right away and you can't get out of there. But now if you're just... We went out on a limb. We bought right away. And if you said, what do I regret? Honestly, I get around my regrets because I love living here. And I love the peacefulness and the relaxation. The road does not bother me as much as it does him. And I've learned to live without cheese. And cheese is not that good for you anyway. So
right. Because you have cholesterol. Cheese.
They have cheese here. They have dairy farms and that.
It's just not good.
It's just very good. Bland. And they'll call it Parmesan or sharp cheddar or all that, but it all just tastes very bland cheese.
And you can go to some of these upscale stores or whatever, because they do have them. I mean, there are places that cater to expats that want to spend money, but a block of cheese may cost you $25. Yeah. And I'm not going to do that. I know cheese has gone expensive. When I was back in the US, I was like, oh my God, it's gone way up in the US too, but it's not $25.
Right.
So just to say, what do I miss? Ultimately, it is the conveniences. But then as soon as I say that, I turn around and say, you know what? I love living here and I wouldn't want to live anywhere else right now.
Gotcha. In wrapping up, guys, what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about relocating? Is there any specific advice you can give?
100%, I would say if you're unsure, then rent. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't speak to you and you walk in and it just doesn't do what you think it is, don't second guess yourself and just say, okay, I think I want to live in Costa Rica, but maybe I need to try it out first. So rent. Find a place where you want to live, rent. I would say definitely get to meet some of the local people. And when I say local, I mean the expats that are in your area, to see if you click with them. Make sure that you like them. Go to a local restaurant, start talking to people. For the most part, everyone's very friendly. They'll talk to you. You'll get to know people. when you talk to your real estate agent, tell them that's what you want. You want to meet some people and you want to know some people before you buy.
Right.
The biggest thing that I would say is find people, good people. And what I mean by that is we've got a wonderful accountant that's our business manager, kind of our administrator person. Mm-hmm. We found a great attorney that came recommended by other people. Mm-hmm. It's all about who and who you can get to help you do stuff. There's always someone to help you, and find those people. Don't try to come down here and do it by yourself.
Right.
Find a community, find a good resource of people, find a good person as an attorney, as an accountant, and let them do it for you. And it's going to cost you a little bit of money, but you know, it's definitely worth it in the long run.
Great advice, guys. Thank you. And where can our listeners find your hotel on social media? Do you have a web address?
Yep. So we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. It's Nature's Edge Boutique Hotel. We have a website, and it's actually, we kept the same name because it was so well known. It's naturesedgecabinas.com, or you can also go to naturesedgehotel.com, and that will show you our website. But we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and I think we are linked to you on Instagram for the podcast, and I think we may even be linked on Facebook. So if they have you, they can find us.
Okay, perfect. Well, guys, thank you so much. This was great. It was very informative. We learned a lot about Costa Rica, the jungle, about you guys. I really enjoyed talking with
you. We did too. And you got to come down, Mark. You have to come see our hotel in person.
I definitely have to. That's going to be definitely on the bucket list.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Mark. This really has been enjoyable. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. And so we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.